you welcome your baby into the world and you have such a tiny amount of time to spend with them before you have to say goodbye again.
That's the voice of Sydney woman Anne-Marie Imrie. Miss Imrie knows all too well the challenges bereaved parents face after losing a child at birth.
So we found out that that Xavier had died on the 30th of January 2015. And then I was booked in the following day and induced to give labour, and he was born on the 31st of January.
That night, she says, brought its own difficulties.
The terrible thing was that I stayed overnight in hospital and I was transferred to the maternity ward. So I got a private room, but I was still there without my baby, and I could hear other babies crying, and that was just really quite traumatic.
The trauma of stillbirth is something hundreds of families around the country understand, with six stillborn babies born every day in Australia. Danielle Pollock, a doctoral student in nursing and midwifery from the University of South Australia, engineered the new research which addresses the silence and stigma still surrounding stillbirth.
I don't think anyone wants the reality of knowing that a baby can die. We're in a very lucky country where most babies don't. And so we are under this false premise that it wouldn't happen to us. So for them, they're like, well, if the majority don't pass away, we don't have to talk about it then. So I think that, it's just a hard topic to acknowledge that, you know, maybe the healthcare system can't save all babies.
Ms. Pollock's research, including surveys of the parents of stillborn children, found over 70% were not told about the possibility of stillbirth by their doctors.
I think healthcare professionals don't want to create a lot of anxiety for women. They believe it's a very anxious topic. If they talk about it, then they'll just have women coming in for no reason. These are just some things we have been hearing.
Stillbirth Foundation Australia Chief Executive Victoria Bowring says the stigma needs to be overcome.
It's the lack of information around stillbirth that creates the stigma and the taboo that surrounds it. It's not well known, it's not discussed often during pregnancy, and it's certainly not something that extended networks for pregnant couples tend to think about. It's very much an invisible loss.
Ms. Pollock has experienced firsthand the wall of silence around stillbirth and says family support is key to helping bereaved parents.
After the death of my daughter Sophia, I felt very alone. Even though my family, I suppose, did try, they were trying to support me in any way they could, I still felt like they weren't able to understand the true impact of what it was like to lose a child.
Ms. Imrie told SBS there's key information she wishes she had been told during her pregnancy.
Small things like just being made aware that the midwife service that I had access to throughout my pregnancy was a 24-hour service that I wasn't aware of until after my son was stillborn. Which is something that still really bugs me a little bit, because I think I started to get concerned on a Thursday evening, and if I had have known that it was a 24-hour service, I might have made a phone call. I don't know if it would have made any difference, but it's just would have been more helpful to have really clear information around what to do if you're concerned.
Ms. Pollock says it's not just medical professionals who need to overcome the taboo, but also the family and friends of the parents of stillborn children.
A lot of the times, bereaved parents just kind of just want you to be there. Provide a meal, ask about their baby, their name, you know, remember those birthdays like you would remember a living child. It's just so important just to have that child acknowledged, and knowing that you probably will never understand unless you've gone through this experience. So just offering those practical supports and just a shoulder.
Her research discusses the importance of acknowledging the child, a process Miss Imrie has faced in her own unique way by writing a children's book in her son's honour.
For me, my experience was going to the cemetery and feeling a bit awkward and not knowing what to do when I was there, so I bought children's picture books and started to read to him, and then that's where the idea was born, around having a book that was written to these babies that only live in our hearts.
Ms Pollock says it's important to remember there are a variety of different communities in Australia and there are lessons that can be learned from different cultures.
So we found within the Maori community that they were a lot more open in talking about their baby. We asked a question about culture and how that influenced them, their grieving, and those that were from a Maori background said that they were able to bring the baby home, that the baby was more within the community. Rather than just say the Anglo-Saxon background where it was just very much just silent.
Many hospitals around Australia now have cuddle cots, devices which look like any other bassinets but are fitted with insulated cooling blankets to slow the natural processes that occur after death. That lets parents spend extra time to welcome and farewell the stillborn child. Miss Imrie says it's a step in the right direction and can help the families of bereaved parents better support them in their loss.
So not a lot of people get to meet your baby, and so it's hard for them to wrap their head around the fact that this is a little person that really just means the absolute world to you and your family. And I think the other key thing is that it's so important, well, speaking for myself, it's so important for me to be able to continue that relationship with my son. So I have a little boy named Xavier. My view is that I continue my relationship with him even though he's no longer here.